You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome to NFL Live. We begin with breaking news. Adam Schefter with us now. Adam, what's the latest out of Houston?
Laura, a short time ago, the Houston Texans fired their head coach, David Culley, of 1 year after David Culley turned in a 4-13 season. And I think when people look around the league and they look at the situation in Houston, they feel like this was fait accompli, that basically David Culley was going to be let go in all probability after 1 year. That was the chance. They guaranteed him 2 years' worth of money. The Texans couldn't get the exact candidate that they wanted last year after Nick Caserio came in there. And so basically, David Culley was put in there as a placeholder until they could find the head coach that they wanted. Now, there are people who believe they wouldn't make this move, and they certainly wouldn't wait 4 days from the end of the season, from then until now, to make this move unless they believed they could get the coach that they wanted. So, of course, everyone's going to wonder who that is, and the men in charge are from New England, and the people in New England that have New England connections would be Brian Flores, would be Gerard Mayo, would be Josh McDaniels, some of the names out there. They were intrigued with Josh McCown the last time, but the fact of the matter is there were people who believed that when David Culley was hired, it was only a matter of time until he was fired. And today they fired David Culley, and they fired their offensive coordinator, Tim Kelly, who David Culley wanted to keep on staff. The Texans didn't want to do that, and so here we go again in Houston with the latest changes to an organization that has been unstable in recent seasons.
Yeah, Adam with us for the rest of the show. Of course, as more news comes in, we'll get it to you. And I realize that Culley may not have won as many games as they would have liked, but either way, that team played hard. I think that factors in here. And they did get a couple wins you didn't expect. Dan Orlovsky, Keyshawn Johnson here in studio. Marcus Spears is also with us for the next hour. I'll start with you, Key. What was your initial reaction in hearing that Culley was fired, even with the context that Adam's giving that a lot of people did expect it?
Because Adam said that, I kind of already knew that, expected right. that based on when they hired him. I kind of have a relationship with Coach Culley, so I kind of knew. He was in there as a placeholder, and having a conversation with him prior to him taking the job, it was one of those deals where you say, you know what, man, this is an opportunity. You've been a long-time assistant. If it works out, great, but here's another thing. You get an opportunity to. So whether it's an NFL again or college football, going back to being an assistant, you got a chance to live a dream that nobody envision you being able to do, and he got a chance to do it. So yeah, I wasn't surprised or shocked.
It's a raw deal, though, for David Culley. You right. know, Laura, you said they probably didn't win as many games as they would have liked. That's probably true, but they also won more games than we expected them
Absolutely.
To, you know? So to
yeah.
Culley's credit, I think that's why it's a raw deal. This is a full rebuild. We know that. Now the coach that comes in, is it going to be Brian Flores? I think the intriguing part is that Davis Mills, their young quarterback, did some stuff that's got to have you at least interested that he could be your guy for the future. A player that wasn't surrounded with much talent, both on the offensive line and the skill position group, and they took him out of Stanford, and he's a super talented kid. And he won him some ball games, and he kept him in a lot of games. And he at least has got to pique the interest of the next incoming head coach that they might have a young quarterback to build around.
Yeah, they do have the number 3 overall pick in the upcoming draft as we bring in Marcus Spears on this. What are your thoughts, Marcus?
Well, I mean, look, from the initial beginning of David Culley tenure, he was the scapegoat. The man had to sit up there and talk in interviews about what's the situation with Deshaun Watson. He had no damn idea. And they kept putting him out there on the podium to talk about it and talk about it. Y'all know I brought this up when it was initially happening. So this is what it looks like, America, when a franchise is in disarray. And they have to make a hire. They have to do a lot of other things. But they have to do, like the Houston Texans got to do a lot of soul searching about who they are, what they want to be, and how they want the future to look like, and how they can begin to change the narrative of what Houston Texans fans believe about this franchise and organization. So moving forward, every step they make will be critical to everybody's reputation and everybody's decision-making from this point going forward. David Culley got to live his dream, but he was a scapegoat from day one he was hired in Houston.
Yeah, I will say this. FPI expected the Texans to have the worst record in the league, so they overachieved with that, with the four wins. Also, there is now only one black head coach in the NFL. Something to keep an eye on going forward as some of these hirings are made. Let's get to the playoffs, as we've got some big games to talk about this week on NFL Live. On Monday, the Cardinals and Rams will meet this season in the wild card round on ESPN. In their first meeting, Arizona dominated Los Angeles with their ground game, recording a season-high 216 rush yards, with 157 of those yards coming before contact. But in Week 14, it was Matthew Stafford who stole the show, evening up the series 1-1 while posting an 82 QBR, throwing three touchdowns, no interceptions. ESPN's Football Power Index slightly favors the Rams on Monday, giving them a 58% chance to win. Here's Kyler Murray today.
So there's no shying away from this. We know who we're playing. We know the caliber of guys that got over there, guys that can, you know, wreck a game. And we gotta match the energy and be ready to play. There's no way around it. You know, to get to the Super Bowl, you gotta beat everybody. So, you know, it just so happens we have to play the Rams first. We understand. Yes, they have a great D line. Yes, they get off the passer. We gotta play well.
That little smile when he said, yeah, they have a great line.
Yeah.
Dan, if you're drawing up the game plan for the Rams, what does it look like?
Well, it's about Sony Michel, Cam Akers, and putting two tight ends on the field. The Cardinals have, since week 8, been one of the worst teams defensively with stopping the run game with two tight ends on the field. Now, first of all, it's not only about, like, efficient runs. You get chunk runs. Lead point, you full block, your tackle goes out, your tight end comes down. These are chunk runs for your offense early in the football game. That's why this stuff matters, because the Cardinals do not fit it well consistently. Now, the Seahawks, last week, their offensive coordinator comes from the Rams. And I love this scheme that he kind of deployed. Front side is zone scheme. Backside, we're actually going to not block two of the backside defenders. Now, look at the seam that it creates. You bluff your tight end, it pulls the linebacker out. The defensive end has to pay attention to a bootleg potential at your quarterback. Then leverage angles and numbers you have in your run game. Now, that play is super close to hitting his head on the goalpost. This is the same formation. It's the same exact play. We're not going to block those two defenders up top. We're going to bluff that tight end, leak him to the flat. Again, look at the push offensive line-wise that happens to this Cardinals defense, because they do not fit it well. That backside end has to hold for a second on the quarterback, and you've got a back that's 12 yards downfield. He hasn't been touched by anybody on the defense. That's Sony Michel, and that's Cam Akers. So I think Sean McVay has to be tremendously disciplined in his play calling. Two tight ends, run game with those two backs.
Yeah, Dio, I agree, and that run game should take hold against Arizona, but you know where I'm going, man. Matthew Stafford, take care of the football. I text you before the show. We always talk. The Rams should have beat the 49ers by at least 10 points. Like, that, those opportunities that you miss and give another team that just that shed of light, or that opportunity to get back in the game, that is what you can't not afford. When you look at Matthew Stafford, man, the ability jumps off the page. We talked about this before the game, but I think there's a word that needs to be attributed to him sometimes. Greed. He gets greedy.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's just not necessary in order for him to do that. You look at those two interceptions, one in a double coverage that was an underthrown ball, and another one that was an underthrown ball to Odell Beckham Jr. Now, that was a bad throw. Odell actually got on top of the DB and potentially had a chance to make a play downfield. But he's going to have to be what McVay betted on, is my point.
Sure.
And I'm looking forward to seeing if he can correct that in the playoffs. Because if he can, we sitting here talking about the Rams legitimately playing in SoFi in February.
Both of you are right, running the football and Matthew Stafford. And the way Matthew Stafford can negate some of those problems is by getting the football somebody outside of Cooper Kupp, and that would be OBJ. If you go back to the first meeting, he wasn't there. The Cardinals ran away with things. The second meeting, he caught 6 of the 7 passes for about 80 yards. I'm going to round it up. It was really 77. If you allow him to get off and do the things that he's capable of doing, he can certainly lift that pressure. Vance Joseph knows that the Rams want to go to Cooper Kupp, Dan. And he understands that. Here's a guy who is my offensive MVP in the National Football League at 1,900 yards in the air. But if you utilize everybody and not focus in on one guy, and spread things around, utilize OBJ, you will take so much pressure off yourself as a quarterback.
I don't all that disagree with you guys. Listen, listen,
go
now
ahead,
I'm with you. I think this is the biggest game in Matthew Stafford's career. And if they win, next week will be the biggest game in Matthew Stafford's career. The reality is this. If he plays a clean three-game stretch, this team has a tremendous chance to go to the Super Bowl. Marcus, you called it him being greedy. I've shared this story with you guys. There is not a single throw on the football field that dude does not think he can make. If he can curb that two times a game feeling, this team can potentially be in the Super Bowl. But it's the biggest game of his career.
And key to one that can speak to this, that's sitting on this panel, he's a Super Bowl champion. But the one thing that comes to mind, D.O. and Key, is that you don't know which play it's going to be. That's the problem in the playoffs. You don't know which one is going to cost you. There's an out route in that game where he misses Odell a little bit to the outside that converts a first down. So it's just a lot of these things that he has to clean up, which we all, I think, believe he can. He's going to have to show it, though.
All right, we're going to let Key speak on that later because now we got to get to something else. Let's get Adam Schefter back in here with the injury report ahead of these crucial playoff games this weekend. Adam, let's start with J.J. Watt. What do we know?
Well, J.J. Watt's back at practice despite the fact that he suffered a significant shoulder injury earlier in the year. People thought he would be out for the year, but in typical J.J. Watt fashion, something tells me he could come out on Monday night in the first ever Monday night wild card game dressed as a mummy and somehow find a way to play against the Los Angeles Rams. He's been going through practice. They said he was very limited, but the fact that he's out there gives the Cardinals some hope he'll be out there. The same is true of Juju Smith-Schuster, who suffered what was thought to be a season-ending shoulder injury earlier. First time he's practiced since week 8 out there, and I think there's a chance he's going to play against the Kansas City Chiefs. The Steelers' offense needs to be strong in Kansas City. Having him back would help. And today, the Colts general manager, Chris Ballard, was non-committal about Carson Wentz and his future in Indianapolis. Talked about how Wentz made some good plays, made some bad plays, but how last weekend's loss against Jacksonville in Jacksonville was embarrassing to the city, to the organization, and they're going to be reviewing everything during the offseason, which basically means Carson Wentz is under review. The issue there is, what other quarterback can the Colts get at a time like this that would be an upgrade and an improvement over Carson Wentz? Draft isn't going to be an area where they can find one, and free agency will be limited. And unless you could trade for one, it's going to be tough to pull off an improvement for Carson Wentz.
Yeah, a bit of a conundrum there to your point. Wentz posted a career low 4.4 total QBR in the Colts regular season finale. Burp. All right, got a lot more coming your way on NFL Live. Keep it locked right here. Two of the top rookie QBs will be making their playoff debuts. Find out which quarterback Dan thinks isn't good enough in the pocket to beat his opponent. But wait, there's more. Three veteran QBs are also making an appearance for the first time in the playoffs. We'll discuss who will have the biggest impact for their team. It's all coming your way next on NFL Live.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Get ready for Super Wild Card Weekend by pregaming with the Madden Ultimate Wild Card. Our own Ryan Clark. Look at, looks so fresh. Going all in to set the table as the best Madden players in the world would go head-to-head for a share of $250,000 in a coveted spot in the Madden Bowl. The Madden Ultimate Wild Card is tonight and tomorrow at 7 p.m. Eastern on the ESPN app, the EA Madden NFL Twitch channel, and the Madden Competitive Gaming channel on YouTube. And then catch the re-air this Sunday on ESPN2 at 8 a.m. Eastern. Hey, how about Tom Brady gearing up for the Eagles this wild card weekend? With all the other storylines for the Bucs lately, it's easy to forget Brady trying to do something extremely rare and difficult at the NFL level. But seriously, if anyone can do it, it's probably him. Repeat as Super Bowl champions. Sunday's game against the Eagles will mark Tom Brady's 46th career playoff start. 46. Huh? Only six NFL franchises have played more playoff games than Brady in the Super Bowl era, meaning he's played in more playoff games than 26 teams. That's nuts. All right, so from a guy who seemingly played in every postseason game ever to a group of guys getting their first career playoff starts. Derek Carr, Joe Burrow, Mac Jones, Jalen Hurts, and Kyler Murray all get their first taste of the postseason this weekend. So, Key, let's start with Brady's opponent on Sunday, Jalen Hurts. Jalen Hurts is like, man, I drew a great card here. I get to go up against Brady in the postseason. If Hurts wants to pull off the upset, what does he have to do?
He's got to be Mr. Everything. He's got to duplicate some of the same things he did in the regular season, account for not 4,000 total yards on offense, but he has to give you some of those same things, running the football, throwing the football, making plays with his legs and his arms, finding Devontae Smith. All of a sudden, Jalen Rigger has to show up to help him out as well. If he can do that, then maybe he can pull it off. If not, the Philadelphia Eagles will not have a chance without Jalen Hurts being Jalen Hurts.
I will say, the one thing about Jalen Hurts is no matter the challenge that's come his way, he's found a way to do it. This one may be particularly hard. All right, let's talk about Kyler Murray. He's getting another quarterback getting his first playoff opportunity on Monday against the Rams. And look at this. The Cardinals went 1-4 in their last five games the regular season. A big reason for the struggles, though, due to Kyler Murray's play in the red zone. In fact, over that five-game span, Murray posted a red zone QBR of just 4.7. That's the third worst mark in the league. He'll need to fix that on Monday, right, if the Cardinals hope to beat the Rams. Their defense ranks third in red zone efficiency over that same span. So, Dan, how much of an issue is the red zone play for Kyler?
It's an issue. I'm going to give you two names, Kyler Murray and Zach Ertz. Now, I'm going to talk about Kyler with his legs. First of all, designed runs have got to step up in the red zone usage. Ever since DeAndre Hopkins has been hurt, this football team in the red zone doesn't have a guy that they could go to, that they can build their stuff around. And Kyler's played a little bit slow in the red zone. It's made some poor decisions, and he has not had that connection. Last year, they used his legs a lot in the red zone. I want to see that come back. Now, the Rams have major issues when it comes to their safeties this week in their secondary. If the Cardinals are going to win this game and on the backs of a good passing game, I think Zach Ertz working the middle of the field against safeties that don't have a ton of experience covering in that type of scheme that the Rams are running is going to be paramount. Kyler with his legs in the red zone, Zach Ertz has got to have a big football game.
Ooh, I love it. Yeah, Kyler has been able to run over the Rams over the last times they faced him this weekend. Was that you trying to be Kyler Murray, or was it just something else? Okay, let's talk about Joe Burrow. Getting ready for the Raiders this weekend. Marcus Spears, is Joe Burrow ready for a primetime moment like this?
Based on history, yes, L Boogie. He tells us that he's ready every time it's do or die or he's in a big moment. Now, this is a different animal because this Las Vegas Raiders front line, this defensive line is going to get after him, and his offensive line gives up a lot of pressure. The great thing about what Joe Burrow has is poise and calm, and that's what you need in the playoffs when things may go bad. He has playmakers all over the place. Ja'Marr Chase, T. Higgins, Uzama, Tyler Boyd, Joe Mixon out of the backfield. I think this game is also a very important look for Zach Taylor, the head coach, because he has to formalize a game plan to keep this team balanced with understanding that Max Crosby and Yannick Ngakoue is over there on the other side, pinning their ears back to get after this quarterback because he knows they want to go downfield. It'll be interesting to see him respond. He's responded well in all of the other situations.
Yeah, I mean, in week 11, when the Bengals played the Raiders, Joe Burrow threw for a career low 148 pass yards. Didn't have to throw it a whole lot that time. All right, got more coming your way on NFL Live. You don't want to miss this. Our wide receiver here on the show is going to get his opportunity to talk about who matters most. Key's top three wide receivers in the postseason. Key, when did you take that picture? A long time ago.
2001?
You want to redo it?
Bad look. I don't like that.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
The Don't miss this. On Monday, the Rams and Cardinals cap off Super Wild Card Weekend with the first ever Monday night playoff game on ABC, ESPN, and ESPN+. Our megacast coverage also includes Peyton and Eli on ESPN2. Our NFL Live crew, along with the guys over at Daily Wager, take you between the lines on ESPN+. And ESPN Deportes brings you a Spanish language version of the game. Cannot wait for all of this. As we head into Wild Card Weekend, some important wide receivers. We'll get to that in just a second.
The NFL's leading receiver.
We put a lot of work in just to get to this point.
Throwing end zone. Cooper Kupp's got it.
10, 5, down the sideline. Deebo Samuel.
He's fun to watch.
Throws it high and deep. Chase
has it. Touchdown.
Woo. Down the middle. Caught by Diggs. Cruises into the end zone. Touchdown, Buffalo. Stephon Diggs.
So those are some of the guys we'll see, but who is most important according to Keyshawn and Dan? Go ahead,
all right,
guys.
Most important wide receivers, not only are we going to tell you who they are, but the route that they do the best. Key, we're going to start at number three. Who's your guy?
Mike Evans, Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
What about him?
Well, he's big, he's strong, he's a physical specimen, especially in the red zone for Tom Brady.
Okay. You love him.
Love him.
Most important. All right, so I think Mike Evans' best route is the go route. And I want you to teach us and tell everybody at home, why is the go route such a good route for Mike Evans?
Well, if you look at it right here, engage. The only problem I have, get rid of that guy sooner.
Okay.
Get rid of him.
Okay.
Get on your horse, get rid of him. But the perfect thing he does is eventually he does that, but he leaves room for error on Tom Brady. There's an imaginary red line that comes around here. He doesn't get pushed too far to the sideline. Perfect throw for Tom Brady. It's good defense, but you can't defend a dude that big. It's just,
that's why.
It's
so win at the line of scrimmage, does a good job fighting.
Get on your horse and get going downfield.
Now, I want you to, why is the red line? You talked about the imaginary red line. Why is that such a big deal?
Because if you go get pushed too far on the sideline, you don't leave room for error for the quarterback to put the ball in the bucket.
So it's that proverbial fade route to bring him towards the sideline.
Absolutely.
Okay, so that's Mike Evans in the go route. Watch for it this weekend. Who's your number two guy?
Hunter Renfrow, the Las Vegas Raider.
Okay.
He is one of the best slot route running, option routes, whatever you want to call it, that I've seen in a very long time in the National Football League.
He's become like Derek Carr's go-to guy, essentially, specifically down in the red zone. Okay,
absolutely.
So I want to talk about down in the red zone now. We talked about when it comes to like that slot and that route running aspect. I want you to tell everybody or teach everybody why this young man's so good the red zone.
If you take a look right here, he has free access. But he now gets the leverage on the defender. Defender slightly outside. He gets out. He comes here.
Yeah.
Lines him up perfectly. As you can tell, he raises his shoulders up.
Okay.
Defensive backs are like trained dogs,
man.
They're going to do what you tell them to do.
All right.
And they're taught the first move with those eyes is where you go. Renfrow gives him just a little nod there, as you can see. Bam! Oh, he gone. It's toast.
Raise up.
Now they give him that little, that's filthy. The only problem I have is my guy, Carr, get the ball out, man. Why are you taking so long? Get the ball out on time.
It
almost became an incomplete pass because it was 1 yard from the damn sideline, Dan.
What were we talking about with his knee, right?
Oh, look at his knee. Look how low. Look at that. What is this?
Look at that knee.
Oh,
could
my
you do
goodness.
That? Could you do that?
Well, I don't want to. Yeah, of course I could, but I don't want to, you know.
All right, so the route running.
It's not about me.
So you're saying he does a great job of, like, body language.
Body language. Once I get that leverage on, and you do what I need you to do, I'm gone. I'm separated.
Like RC calls it. He calls it the bing bing.
You can't do nothing with me.
All right, who's your number three guy?
The number three guy is Cooper
Number Kupp. One guy. Number Excuse one. Me. Number one
number
guy.
Number one guy is Cooper Kupp.
Okay.
1,900-plus yards receiving. I mean, it's ridiculous, though, Dan. Come on. This dude is
best receiver in football right now, or most productive receiver in football right now?
Most productive receiver, but the best receiver because he can do it all. He can play the Z, the X, the Zebra, whatever you want him to play, the F. He does all many different things.
So we talked about Mike Evans, the go route. We talked about Hunter Renfrow and his ability to win one-on-one routes in the red zone. Cooper Kupp in the choice route. This is him. You're going to get that motion key to go bunch left. F right. Now, this is him on that choice route, okay? Sets the defender inside, breaks away. Now, you got to teach us, what is he doing in this choice route that is so important?
Well, he's getting leverage, but he also understands what the defense is trying to do to
him. Okay.
He understands patience. He didn't explode. He kind of took his time.
Why is he taking his time?
Well, because he wants everything to separate.
Okay.
He wants this defender to get to his third. He wants to find out if he's coming to the flat. He's moving to the flat slow. If he decides to go right now, Cooper Kupp make fake, he might go back in.
Okay.
He understands that. That's the patience and the beauty of a smart route runner.
Well,
now the run after the catch is even more impressive.
It's funny that you talked about that defender, because now you've got Cooper Kupp. This is going to be him on the right side again.
Yes.
And you've got that very similar formation, and that defender is going to be in a very similar placing that defender was for San Francisco. Tell me the difference now.
Now, this defender thinks
See how he goes across his face now?
The defender thinks, I'm really smart. I watch film. Oh, I know what this is. I've seen this personnel grouping. I've seen this formation. Now all he's running an F angle. Gives him just a little bit. See what I told you before?
Yeah.
He's going to do what I need him to do like a trained dog.
Right.
Simply, bam, Kupp puts that there, crosses his face. The rest is history.
So he goes bang, and instead of going out, so he set, you're saying like he sets him out, but instead of going there, take the defender where you kind of want him to go?
Yes.
And then win?
Yes.
What's the difference, though, for you guys when you're running that choice route, running off of leverage or getting you in the leverage that I exactly want you to be?
Getting in the leverage that I need you to be.
Okay.
You're going to do what I tell you to
do. Yeah, with my body.
Even if you inside and I need to set you up, I'm going to go inside, set you up, and break out. Vice versa.
Mike Evans on the go route. Renfro winning down in the red zone. Cooper Kupp on the choice route. We need to get you an Untuckit sponsorship. That's what we need.
Hey, Key's starting to sweat over there. By the way, the DBs watching this are like, what? What's he talking about?
Trained dog. Roof, roof, roof.
Okay, let's get to the Chiefs, who face off against the Steelers this weekend. Patrick Mahomes has won 9 of the last 10 games to finish the regular season after a tough start to the year. One of those wins, a 36-10 victory over Pittsburgh back in week 16. Mahomes was asked how he's getting ready for the rematch.
Now, obviously, they're going to take away the stuff that they did good against us, and then they're going to try to change stuff that they didn't have as much success with. They have a lot of good, really good coaches over there. They have a lot of really good players, and they've played in playoff games. They understand that how to change stuff up. They understand to go back to what they're great at, and so we're expecting a battle, and we'll be ready to go, and we're going to try to find answers for everything because they're going to throw all different pitches to us. And we have to be able to respond and have success as much as possible.
Marcus, Steelers well aware of the tall task ahead of them with this Chiefs offense. If they want to have a chance on Sunday, what do they have to do defensively against Mahomes?
Boogie, me and you started on SEC Nation together a long time ago, and I'm about to say something you're real familiar with. If you have to blitz, you're dead.
Yep.
Okay, that's the bottom line. And the Pittsburgh Steelers will have to be able to get after the passer with four-man rush. I know we say it a lot. It's simplicity in that, but that is the best course of action. They tried to get after Patrick Mahomes and send extra pressure, and he gutted them to the tune of 30-plus points. But if you know these guys up front, the onus is on T.J. Watt, Defensive Player of the Year. The onus is on Cam Haywood. The onus is on Highsmith. They have to wreak as much havoc against this offensive line when it's a drop back pass situation in order to let Minka roam a little bit. Minka Fitzpatrick, the safety for the Steelers, let him roam a little bit. Use him as a robber. Use him as a guy to show disguise. But if they got to bring him down in that box, and if they got to add a 6-man to the pressure or a 7-man to the pressure to try to generate getting Patrick Mahomes on the ground, we'll be saying bye-bye to Big Ben, y'all.
Hey, this season, though, Patrick Mahomes threw 7 interceptions under pressure. That's tied for the most in the NFL.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk about some coach openings. Mm-hmm. Currently, 6 teams around the NFL actively searching for their next head coach. The Dolphins, Jags, Broncos, Giants, Vikings, and Bears. There's actually 7 teams because this afternoon we added the Houston Texans to that list. Adam Schefter is back with us here. Adam, what led to the decision to fire David Culley in Houston?
Well, you didn't include the Las Vegas Raiders either, Laura, who are on their interim head coach, Rich Bisaccia, making it 8 right now. There's a lot, and there could be more. Who knows? We'll see what happens here moving forward. But essentially, the Houston Texans fired David Culley today. They had the worst offense in the league, but the truth of the matter is he was set up to fail. He didn't have his quarterback, Deshaun Watson, this year. He didn't play for that team. And if you don't have your star quarterback and you're not going to play him when he's under contract, the coach is in position to fail. And the Texans knew that when they hired David Culley. It was advertised as a 5-year contract. They guaranteed only 2 years worth of money. And there were multiple people around the league who believed that David Culley was brought in as a bridge, a placeholder, somebody to just keep the seat warm until the Texans could go hire the head coach that they wanted to hire, whether that's Brian Flores, whether that's Gerard Mayo, whether that's Josh McDaniels. We'll see what the Texans decide to do. There also are people who believe that they waited this long because they wouldn't have made the move unless they knew that they had a good handle on the head coach that they did want to hire eventually, which is why today, 4 days after the season ended, they moved on from David Culley at this point in time. They also fired his offensive coordinator, Tim Kelly, who David Culley wanted to keep on staff, but the Texans didn't want Tim Kelly either. So they fired him, they fired David Culley, and an organization that's been unstable in recent seasons continues to be that way around the NFL.
Also, what's the news out of the Vikings GM search?
Well, the Vikings GM search, they have cast a wide net at this point in time, Laura. They've reached out to a number of candidates. The most notable candidate that they've reached out to is Catherine Raich of the Philadelphia Eagles front office. She now becomes the first woman believed to interview for a general manager job, which is saying something. We've seen the strides that women have begun to start making in the NFL, officiating, coaching, front offices. Well, now they've reached out to Catherine Raich in the Eagles front office. She is going to be interviewing for the Vikings general manager job. Certainly notable that they will be bringing her in and talking to her. There's been one other female general manager, 1983, the Eagles, but that was the daughter of the owner, so I don't know that it counts quite the same as this particular interview that's being arranged.
Yeah, slightly different there. I got to tell you, I got chills the second that you said that news about Catherine Raich, and everybody in here is saying that's really cool. So great news there. Adam, thanks so much. Ahead on NFL Live, we got more coming from Dan and Marcus. They're going to hit the touchscreen, show us what the 49ers are doing in the trenches to slow down offenses and why that may matter this weekend. We got a whole lot more coming your way on NFL Live. Don't go anywhere.
And finally get a chance to live out my dreams. Live out my dreams.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Catch the biggest names and the brightest stars rep their team, their city, and the NFL at the 2022 Pro Bowl presented by Verizon. Sunday, February 6th, 12 p.m. Pacific at Allegiant Stadium. Buy your tickets today at ProBowl.com. To the Cowboys, Dak Prescott was on fire against the Eagles week 18, a career-high 5 touchdowns in the win. Now it's all on the line against San Francisco. Dan and Marcus, how big is the challenge on Sunday against the 49ers?
All right, Laura, for that Dallas Cowboys offense led by Dak Prescott to have another performance like that, two things got to happen. They got to win the snap at the line of scrimmage when it comes to a run game, and then they got to be stout in the middle pass game and win the edges. So run game. Offensively, the number one thing that ruins a run game is penetration by a defensive tackle. And I want everyone to pay attention to this. San Francisco 49ers defensive tackle, win this snap. His get up off the football is fantastic. Now, the original line of scrimmage, big fella, you know this, is right about there, right? Mm-hmm. He has now, in kind of a football sense, created a new line of scrimmage strictly because he's won that snap. I wanted you to tell everybody at home, as a defensive tackle, specifically when you're going to play on the road, what are some of the tells that you pay attention to win the snap in the run game?
Yeah, no doubt. Light on their fingers. A lot of times, offensively, offensive line, light on their fingers. When you get zone scheme teams, they can't be bearing down. The knuckles are not white because no blood is getting to them. And you can kind of see the lean of an offensive line as well, whether it's zone stretch left or zone stretch right. This penetration is perfect. It's killing this play. And more importantly, what we talk about all the time, D.O., the penetration, obviously, we want to play 2 yards in the backfield, but we want this guy to stop his feet.
And that's exactly what happens, because if you watch this play happen, like, this is a good run lane by this Rams offense.
Absolutely.
Look, that's a good run lane in their outside zone scheme. But Sony Michel, because of that penetration, he's got to stop his feet and jump up in the air. 10 guys or 9 guys on offense do it well. One guy gets beat and play over.
And to your point, Dio, the real point about making Sony Michel stop his feet is because a lot of times in the run game, the D lineman's responsibility is to buy time for these line breakers that have to scrape over. So if I can slow Sony, they got time to defeat a block and then get downhill and make a play.
There's that backer right there. You 100%. Talked about beating that block, the shed, and the tackle for loss. So that's the run game. If the Cowboys and Zeke Elliott want to have some success running the football, many things have to happen, but they got to win the snap.
Gotta take
now, I want to pay attention to the internal guys for the San Francisco 49ers. These two defensive tackles are going to do one of those internal stunts, mm-hmm. really what's called a TT, a tackle and tackle stunt. It's going to create that scissors action right there. Now, as an offense, I feel okay because numbers-wise, I still have one, two, three guys blocking your one on two. But it commits so many bodies there, and that's a hard thing for my guys to pass off and get all that.
I got a new phrase for NFL Live. We've been doing this show for a long time.
What do you got?
What this penetration and these type of games do, they create ghosts for the offensive line. That's what we used to
they
say all the time.
They got chasing all the time.
We want to create ghosts. So even though it's two defenders here, and like you said, it's enough people in this area to block, perception by the offensive line is there's a ghost somewhere that we're not picking up that's going to be a free hitter.
I love that. So the guys up front for the Cowboys got to do a really good job of passing that off and communicating. But there's another layer to this because, again, you're going to see this internal stunt by that San Francisco 49ers defensive line. I got my three on two, but there's another variable that I got to be really good. Yes, exactly, right? Look what happens. Look what happens. My two tackles now, not only are those three guys in the middle, got to be fantastic. Mm-hmm. My two tackles now on the outside, they got to play really good against guys that are premier pass rushers.
And imagine how much you're asking of this guy on the island by himself against 97. And here's the other team, other thing too, D.O.
Yeah.
Offensive lines in pass and run, they live for this phrase, a hat on a hat.
Right.
When you don't allow that, you scramble them up. Because offensive line are programmed too, just like defensive line. You get the protection from the quarterback, obviously, you know, and you're expecting the look based on alignment.
Right.
When you see, when you get these games, you create the ghosts, but you also make these guys very conscious that now, guys, we are on an island. They have taken our guards away by the movement of the interior guys.
Yeah, that's tough for the offense. So, like, for the Cowboys offense, run game-wise, it's got to be Biotich, and it's got to be Williams, and it's got to be Zach Martin, but also it's going to stress those guys when they play drop back football. And then those tackles just got to play really good. And again, you're not blocking nobody's. It's Nick Bosa that you got to pay attention to. So it's going to be a big challenge for this Cowboys offensive line to play one of their best games of the season, both in run and pass protection.
TV magic getting swagoo in studio all of a sudden. Hey, arguably no quarterback has been better under pressure this season than Dak Prescott, and that certainly has been the case over the final 5 weeks of the regular season. Prescott ranks first in QBR, touchdown passes, and third in completion percentage when under duress since week 14. That's something he'll need to keep going against the 49ers on Sunday. Their defense ranks first in pressure percentage over that same span. Dak spoke to the media earlier today.
I mean, I do what I normally do. I don't know necessarily why people have labeled the word pressure as such a bad thing, honestly. I think it creates high expectations and high standards, and it usually creates high results. So for me, it's just about being who I am, staying true to that, knowing who I am, preparing the same way that I have and that I do, trusting the people around me, trusting the play callers and my preparation, and then just going out there and playing the game that I love without any hesitation.
So, Key, what does the game plan look like for Dak on Sunday?
I think it's patience, right? Mm-hmm. You take the underneath stuff. I don't want to call it dink and dunk, but you methodically move the football down the field. Then you try to get some explosive chunk plays. And at that point in time, you mix in a little bit of Pollard and Ezekiel Elliott to slow things down and take control of the game as the clock continues to run, because then you put Jimmy Garoppolo and the San Francisco 49ers in a must-pass throw catch-up type mode. And I think the Dallas Cowboys can certainly do that. When you think about them running the football, Laura, they are undefeated when they rush for 100-plus yards in a game. So you might want to use that a little bit.
Well, you know, I'll take this another step further. I think he spread it around really nicely with this offense. In fact, the Cowboys had seven different players record at least 35 receptions this season. The only other team to do that was the Cardinals. So it's worked out well. We got a lot more coming your way on NFL Live. The Bills have a big decision regarding how they will defend the Patriots. Can the Bills change the narrative from their first matchup? If they don't, someone here thinks they'll be heading home on the bus early. That's next. I'm feeling good, man. I feel so much better.
Chasing my dreams and I'm stacking this cheddar. Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and The Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
NFL Countdown has you covered for the wild card playoffs. Kick your weekend off Saturday at 11 a.m. Eastern with live coverage from Cincinnati and Buffalo. On Sunday at 10, Countdown sets the table for a wild card triple header featuring Tom Brady, Dak Prescott, and Patrick Mahomes. Speaking of the Chiefs, new on NFL Live, this from Field Yates. Chiefs running back Clyde Edwards-Helaire has a shoulder injury. He was downgraded from a limited participant to a non-participant practice today. It's important also, Tyreek Hill, who had the heel injury, went from a full participant Wednesday to a limited participant today. Something to watch for. Let's talk Bills Pats playing for the third time this season on Saturday. It's expected to be around 5 degrees or less at game time for this one. If you go back to the first time these teams played at Orchard Park this year, it was another crazy weather game. Lots of wind, so the Pats ran it all over the place. 222 yards to be exact. Mac Jones only threw the ball 3 times on the way to the win. And stopping the run has been key to the Bills' success this season. In Buffalo's 11 wins, they've allowed 85 rushing yards per game and just 8 touchdowns on the ground. But in their 6 losses, they've allowed over 150 rushing yards per game, 11 touchdowns, a full yard more per rush. So, Kate, we told you it's going to be a cold weather game, like really, really extremely cold. So if it's anything like the Week 13 matchup in Buffalo, what needs to change for the Bills this time around?
Well, they've got to play more physical. The point of attack. When they set the edge, they can't allow to get pushed around. You mentioned 222 yards on the ground. Look, that's not going to happen probably, but it can't be 175. Mac Jones, they've got to put the ball in his hands and make him throw. And if they do that, then they'll be fine. And if they don't, they'll be with us enjoying the Super Bowl.
Oh, man. Yeah.
I think if you're that Buffalo Bills defense, you've got to have the most important person that you focus on to be the fullback for that New England Patriot offense, Jakob Johnson. He's going to take you to the ball more often than not. And you did not do a good enough a job of diagnosing and then being physical. You see the front set to the right. You got to match it as a defense. Backside, cut split by your receiver. This is that toss left. Key, you know this. Down block, pull down, the tackle, down. Look at the fullback. Creating that huge lane, and that safety's like, okay, where's going to be the cut right now? He overplays it because that fullback is being dominant. If you give a guy like Damian Harris that kind of cutback lane, he's going to have great vision to it, and now you get a weak side toss play that you can go bang your head on the goalpost and score from 70 out. But they can do it two ways. They give you that very same formation, front side, that's the strength. Defensively, you've got to match it. You see the cut split by the receiver. Now, when you get the ball run on you, linebackers get a little bit antsy. This is called a G play. We're going to pull our front side guard. Follow the fullback, Jakob Johnson. Down blocks front side. That guard is going to wrap around. But 47, where's the football? Find that fullback. He cleans up on the inside, and there's that front side G run that chunked that Bills defense. I know we like to make games about the quarterbacks all the time. If the Bills are going to win this football game, they have got to stop that 21 personnel. 2 back, 1 tight end, led by 47, Jakob Johnson. If they do that, they got a chance to win because their quarterback is better. If they don't, they will not win.
Marcus.
I'm so happy my boy talking about the run game. I just, oh, my God, it took me a whole season to get him to focus on the run game. Listen, I'm going to go to the Bills defense. And a big part of run game and how you defend it well, as I did it for 9 years in this league, is changing gaps. Sometimes you have to change gaps. It's not about pressure. It's about not leaving your defensive lineman in the same spot that they lined up in. If you take a look at Buffalo here, they use just a little simple inline stunt in order to create the pressure that you need, the penetration, and it allows those linebackers to replace where that defensive lineman left. This is not something you use every time the New England Patriots line up in a run formation, but it is something you need to put on tape. It is something that when they go back to the sideline, this offensive line needs to say, hey, coach, They not where we think they are. Once we declare protection, these guys are moving and giving us different looks. I think they can go a long way in the Buffalo Bills being able to defend this run game. And not only that, create some negative plays to put Mac Jones behind the sticks, create third and longs. And I know the Buffalo Bills have to feel comfortable with him being in that situation at certain points of the game with the amount of pressure that'll be on him. So be smart about how you play the run, but change the look at the line of scrimmage against this offensive line at times so you don't become stagnant and predictable.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because 17 of New England's 24 rushing touchdowns came against loaded boxes this season. That's the most in the NFL. They're trying to stop them, right? But that's easier said than done, Dan.
Yeah, and the Patriots have a great commitment to the run. You know, we say this all the time. If you guys, 11 on defense, do a good job of stopping 18 of my 20 runs, that's awesome. But if one guy is out of place on two of those runs, that's when I can hit you with big chunks. So the commitment to run forces everybody be disciplined on a consistent basis.
All right, all I know is that Key really likes 5-degree weather. He's going to be trying to get out there, get ready to go. Key,
and
right?
You don't understand how cold it is trying to catch a football.
That's I can't imagine. I'd be
dead.
You
got some big beaters, man.
Get them out.
Though, Dan.
All right, they're frozen. It doesn't matter what size they are. We'll see you tomorrow.
What if in 2024 you got a little bit better every day? When you're learning a new language with Babbel, that's exactly what you're doing. And if Babbel can help you start speaking a new language in just 3 weeks, imagine what you could do in a full year. Don't pay hundreds of dollars for private tutors or waste hours on apps that don't really help you speak the language. Try Babbel, the science-backed language learning app that actually works. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are designed by over 200 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. It's designed by real people for real conversations. Babbel's tips and tools are approachable, accessible, rooted in real-life situations, and delivered with conversation-based teaching so you're ready to practice what you've learned in the real world. They have over 16 million subscriptions sold. Plus, all of Babbel's 14 award-winning language courses are backed by their 20-day money-back guarantee. Here's a special limited-time deal for our listeners. Right now, get 60% off your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners at babbel.com/tackle. Get 60% off at babbel.com/tackle. Spelled B-A-B-B-E-L.com/tackle. Rules and restrictions may apply.